Yeah, Carol hasn't signed it. Card for John. Good evening. Welcome, everyone, to the Special Permit License Board meeting for February 5th, 2025. If we can have the roll call, please.
Brown.
Here.
Hatfield.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Moe.
Here.
Ryan. And just a note that you did see the email that Amin wasn't going to be available tonight, and then I did talk to Mr. Rommelfinger, and he's still recuperating.
Yeah, so John is out ill, so we'll go ahead and approve his absence. And David responded to us yesterday saying that he had a family event with his son, so we'll go ahead and approve that one.
Okay.
Jeff, I am not quite sure where he is. I've sent him a message. But so we'll just hang tight on that one, because normally he's at my place about 5 o'clock on Wednesdays, and he wasn't there either. So perfect. At this time, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from the January 15th, 2025 meeting. If we could have a motion to approve. Charlene, you're up.
I make a motion we approve the meetings.
I second it.
Perfect. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. At this time, we're going to move on to public hearing and new business for the new fermented malt beverage for Trader Joe's, number 308.
I don't think Chair Amin opened the public hearing.
Was that a mistake on the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. What paragraph? Can you tell me?
Just the first paragraph.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about
that.
So if we
can go backwards and just...
I think I chaired that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I chaired it.
Or did you chair that one?
I chaired it.
Wednesday? Well, it's got a mean, so either way.
No, I changed it because I went to the Nuggets game right after.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so if we can just make the...
Change in that, I will do that.
Make the minutes different. Perfect. This time, we got Trader Joe's number 308. If you could read that to the record, Mary Joy.
As stated, we're here tonight to the board to consider the application from Trader Joe's Company doing business at Trader Joe's number 308, located at 9350 Sheridan Boulevard. The property is zoned C1, and I actually think that's a mistake. It's PUD. So I apologize for that. And the sale of packaged alcoholic beverages for off-premise consumption isn't allowed use. Notice of this hearing was published on the city website on January 21st, and the property has been posted with signage to notify passersby of the date and time of this hearing for more than 10 days preceding this evening. The designated neighborhood boundaries for petitioning purposes were on the north 98th Avenue, on the south 89th Way, on the west, Westminster Boulevard, and on the east, Stewart Street. Surveying was completed by Liquor Pros, and the report of results together with a BAP showing where petitioning was conducted is part of your packet. There are two fermented malt beverage wine liquor licenses within the designated neighborhood, Walmart Supercenter number 2223 and Circle K number 2741146. There has not been a denial of a fermented malt beverage wine liquor license application at this location or within 500 feet of it within the preceding 2 years. A report from the Westminster Police Department is also part of your packet, and Officer Gordon Ayer is here and will be presenting his findings to the board. I submit this information for the record.
Perfect. We'll go ahead and accept that into evidence. If you can raise your right hand, do you swear to affirm the testimony you're about to give is true and complete?
I do. Troy Gordonier, Liquor Enforcement Officer on behalf of the city. The police department did receive the application for the fermented malt beverage and wine liquor license for Trader Joe's, number 308. The applicant has a master file designation with the Colorado Department of Revenue. Therefore, background was not necessary. Documentation was provided for funding of the business appears to be proper. The applicant does have experience in the liquor industry, and they do hold other liquor licenses within the state. Therefore, the police department has no reason to deny application.
Does anyone have any questions on the police department's report? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and accept that into evidence. We do have the survey. Does anybody have any questions on the survey? It was 98% in favor. Does the applicant have any questions? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and accept that into evidence as well. And we'll go ahead and I'll ask you to raise your right hand, Mr. Wofford. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us true and complete?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. If you could state your first name, your last name, spell your last name, and address for the record. Perfect. Now, if you and Mr. Prophet want to tell us a little bit about why you're here and what you're looking for.
Certainly. Thank you.
Mike's not on. It only matters if y'all get mad at us.
Have a room full of angry people, so Mr. Brown is right. It probably doesn't matter too much, but there we go.
It's that one time that somebody's going to go.
Well, good evening. Brian Prophet, registration number 31101 on behalf of the applicant this evening, Trader Joe's Company, seeking to do business here in Westminster as Trader Joe's number 308. We have made application for a fermented malt beverage and wine retailer license, so a package license allowing us to sell wine and beer at our location only a stone's throw from here. You've been introduced to Mr. Wofford just a moment ago, but I do have a few questions for Mr. Wofford, and hopefully it'll answer most of your questions regarding our application. So Phil, can you tell everybody your title with Trader Joe's?
Yes, I'm a regional vice president.
And how long have you been with Trader Joe's?
28 years and a month.
Month. That's important. As a regional vice president, can you tell us what are your duties for the company?
I am in charge of ensuring that our stores are safe, profitable, within our culture. I'm also responsible to develop leaders, promote, and create an environment where a diverse group of leaders are doing their job. I am also finding locations, building, staffing, and training.
And you oversee all of the Colorado locations, is that right?
All of the stores in Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico.
Now, in your capacity as a regional VP, are you familiar then with the business operations of a Trader Joe's?
Yes.
And are you familiar with this proposed location just down the street at 9350 Sheridan Boulevard?
Yes.
I suspect everyone here is familiar with Trader Joe's. We've been around long enough in the state of Colorado, but can you briefly, the elevator speech,
sure.
Tell everybody about Trader Joe's and what you specialize in.
We've always called ourselves a unique grocery store. You should be able to find your staples and then unique products from all over the country and around the world. When we started, we were very nut, cheese, and wine focused. We are now primarily a perishable store. So produce is our number one seller. Frozen would be number two. We still have great alcohol values, but it has become a smaller part of our business, both because of the trends in the country and just because of the market share is going towards fruits and vegetables.
How many locations does Trader Joe's operate here in the state?
I think that if this is approved, this would be the ninth.
Okay. Do all of them have some sort of a alcohol beverage license?
Yes. All of them have, but two have the one we're trying to get tonight, but we have two that have wine, beer, and liquor.
Okay. And this one, however, is like most of your stores.
Yes.
Fermented malt beverage and wine. When are you anticipating this location to be ready for opening?
We are feeling it as early as July 11th and as late as October, and that would be more about everything from a permit to will that freezer come off of the barge or something like that. So things have been going pretty smoothly. I don't want to jinx it. So we're hoping for July 11th, that week.
And what would be your anticipated hours of operation?
9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
7 days a week?
7 days a week, up with a few holidays and exceptions.
And now for what most people here are most interested in, can you tell us about your alcohol beverage program?
Yes. So we currently have between 350 and 375 wines. 72% of those are either private label or control label. And that number could slightly change as I'm saying it, but that's roughly, you could say 70%. So are you aware of what private and control, the difference between those two? I don't want to say stuff that you already know, but essentially if it's private label, it will say Trader Joe's on the bottle. If it's control label, it's a brand we've created that doesn't say Trader Joe's on it, but it's a Trader Joe's wine. And then we'll carry a nice selection of brand names as well. Beer, I don't know how many. It's probably something like 75 beers in Colorado. Everybody wants Colorado beer, not our beer. So everywhere else in the world, other than a few beer spots, everybody picks Trader Joe's beer for the value. Here, we're going to probably sell 75% great local Colorado beer and then a few value beers of Trader Joe's.
I want to ask some follow-up questions specifically about the wine. You mentioned as many as 350 to 375 different varieties or SKUs, I guess might be yes. another way of saying. We have that many every day, or do you kind of cycle through them?
Yeah, even the store that Arvin's at now, I think, has a third of that because that isn't what the customers want, and we need to have frozen and produce. So we are even trimming as we speak as a company. So we are curating it down. Some stores will have 100 only, and maxed out would be that 350.
Do you tend to see seasonal varieties that will come through? Absolutely. So maybe what I see in the spring is different than what I'll find around the holidays.
Yes, but honestly, they're often all there. It's just that they matter more in season. So Pinot Noir becomes a huge deal at Thanksgiving. Most of those were in the store. We'll bring in some new ones and get rid of old ones each season. In the summer, it's rosé all day and Pinot Grigio. And so those rosés are in the store now. It's just that they're you know, on a smaller shelf because nobody wants them because it's cold.
You mentioned shelving. Approximately how much space are you dedicating to your wine and beer program?
It would probably be something like 72 feet max.
Linear feet
of riveteer.
Does that include each shelf above?
So yes, and I think that's more than we want to do. We will have some floor stacks and probably a 40-foot run and then a 20-foot beer run. And then we'd be probably trimming that to sell artichokes before too long.
Now I want to ask about the beers. You mentioned maybe as many as 75 SKUs. Do you sell all of your beer room temperature? Do you have coolers with beer?
We are room temperature other than in the stores that have the liquor license to sell spirits.
So
This store will not be refrigerated.
And in fact, that's one of the ways that you prevent shoplifting. Isn't that right?
Honestly, don't think about that. I think I need to sell the cheese while I put wine. There'd be a point where you'd put alcohol where you could keep your eye on it. And really the way we do that is we have tons of people working in our store in a small space and we are vigilant and keep our eyes open. So human beings over cameras and merchandising.
Well, it's an excellent segue. I want to move on to your training, your policies, your procedures.
Sure.
Approximately how many people will be hired for this location?
We think the top, like with our supervisor team, I think we'll be a little over 100. And we probably have 15 to 20 crew members that work in Boulder and Denver that live here that are veterans. And they'll probably come over. So we think we're going to hire 80 people, around 80. And we'll probably be around 100 to 110 with the leadership team.
Let me ask about the leadership team. How many members of your leadership team?
I would like to start with, we have a kind of an equation that you hope for so that people can have vacations and time off and lead. So 13 is like this dream number for a normal store. We will start with 12 and then look to promote somebody internally that we've hired from the neighborhood as soon as possible. So
now, of those approximately 100 people who would work there, including 80 new hires, will everyone be trained in the service, or not service, but the sale of alcoholic beverages, or only a portion of them?
Everybody, I think we may not train the two or three teenagers we hire that are 16 that do not operate the register, and don't do any heavy equipment, and they would do it on their 18th birthday.
Then can you tell us then about the training of all the rest of those folks as it relates to alcohol sales?
We have our own onboarding and training that we do, but we will also be using a local alcohol beverage training, is I think the name of it, run by Patrick Maroney, who is the former director of alcohol enforcement. So he'll do three or four big groups, or he will train our trainers, and they will do three or four big groups. And we'll usually use that time as like a 2 to 3 hour meeting for that, and then often other training and tasting, but everyone will do that before we open.
Mr. Maroney's training program is actually state-approved alcohol training program, is that correct?
Correct.
And so all of your folks will have completed a state-approved, completed a state-approved class
correct.
Prior to opening.
A few supervisors who've been in Colorado for a long time, someone like Arvind, have already probably taken the TIPS version
it's
of that.
It's probably a good time to introduce
Arvind. Yes, Arvind will be the captain of the Trader Joe's. He will be the captain of the Westminster Trader Joe's. But even those supervisors will be present while we're doing all of this. So even if they've already are TIPS certified, they'll be doing this one as well.
Now, in addition to the alcohol beverage training by Mr. Maroney's group, can you tell us a little bit about the training just to work at a Trader Joe's and how
sure.
many hours and days or even weeks will be engaged in training prior to opening?
Yeah, it's evolving, and I'm trying to make been something I've been doing is opening a lot of Trader Joe's. So if I were ideally doing it, we would begin 2 months before the store opens, and I would place a huge group in Boulder and a huge group in Denver if they were willing to drive, and they would go clock in and work with a series of trainers and a leader for up to 4 to 6 weeks, running register, learning how to do their job. We would even do some of those alcohol trainings with those groups at that location. Some people will be hired 7 days before we open. They'll be trained by everyone as we're doing it. But we do have a passport program and an onboarding program that everyone will do.
Passport's like your internal training.
The passport is the thing that goes in their pocket. That is the cliff notes of the larger version. So they have a big book, a little book, and it's got benchmarks where Captain Arvin will, at 2 weeks, have a conversation with each person. And then at 6 weeks and 8 weeks, and it goes on for 3 months after hire. Even 1 year follow-up now.
Next, I want to ask about your service policies themselves.
Sure.
I come up to the register. I have wine in my cart. What is the policy for asking for my identification?
We would grab the alcohol and ask them for their ID. And we assume if they look that they are under 50 years of age, we're going to ask for their ID. We would, after we see the ID, scan it, the alcohol, set it aside. A prompt comes up where we have to enter their birthday in before we can proceed. And if they are not... If they don't have an ID, if they are too young, or if they don't have their ID, we would say, we can't sell you alcohol. Usually causes some bit of an issue, and we ring a bell, the crew member would ring a bell, and one of multiple supervisors would come over to assist with the kind of sensitive nature of that at that time.
You're doing great. You're getting all the questions before I get to you. So,
awesome.
Not quite, but I did want to ask, do you utilize any third-party programs like secret shopper programs to help?
Yes. So every Sunday night while I am having a glass of wine, I will get about 30 emails all coming through from all my states, and we have multiple secret shoppers per week specifically for alcohol. So it will be someone who is over 21, but it looks pretty young, and they will buy a handful of groceries as well as alcohol, and then they will write the report of I was greeted properly, I was asked for identification, they entered the identification, and if they pass that, we like to send that to the captain to celebrate that with the crew, and if they fail that, I have an immediate conversation with the captain about what are we doing, who is this crew member, what's our plan. If it's often an excellent person who did one silly thing, but they are held accountable for it, and you do that, you know, too often and you do not have a job. We kind of take it pretty seriously.
How often do these secret shoppers, are they in the store? Every week? Every day?
Yes. So, I mean, I don't think it's every day. I think they have, the days vary. But if I'm getting 20 a week and I have, it'll seem like I'll get 7 from Utah and 10 from Colorado and 4 from New Mexico.
So there's probably weekly. Secret shopping in every store at least twice a month, maybe more.
That's what it feels like, yes.
Okay. And last question for you. Are there any additional security measures in place in your stores for purposes of monitoring the alcohol, shoplifting, things
sure.
like that?
We really only have cameras above the bridge, is what we call it, or the office, where the money is, and then at the entrances and exits. And that's even new for us, but that's something that if any issue happens, we're ready to work with the authorities if they need to look at that. We have the ability from the bridge to monitor or like look at what's happening on any transaction. We do not do that unless we have a reason to do that. We do trust our crew. As silly as it sounds, the number one security thing we have are human beings, and our supervisors are up front, and if anything seems strange, they will literally go bag right there. They'll watch that transaction. We're often aware if something's fishy before it even starts.
How about on the floor itself? Do you have dedicated folks who just walk the floor?
We do. Yeah, we have a position called the helmsperson. So every hour there's a person who's not working other than communicating with customers, helping people, and they are the eyes and ears of the store. When we have wallet theft rings, which are kind of pervasive around the country these days, we will place a human being, like our version of a Walmart greeter, a more organically, you know, present human being that will literally tell people, hey, we've had wallet thefts in the area, you should be careful. But they also then let us know if something, we just say, if you see something, say something, and it doesn't matter what that is, and we try not to judge that. But, you know, people who don't want to do that, they do that for a second, they're like, oh, that person looks like they've never shopped at Trader. They weren't here for a good reason. So we have that at many stores. Many of our stores have it all the time, but we kind of pull that when we need it.
That's actually all the questions I have for Mr. Wofford.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. You don't have any more?
No, he covered everything that I had. I hope he covered everything that you have, but at this time, I'd make him available to the authority.
Perfect. At this time, we'll open it up from questions from the board.
I just want to say all of my neighbors are thrilled that you're coming.
Exciting.
And I'm sure you're going to do very well. So
exciting. I remember driving by the spot and thinking this is a big yes for me, so we fought pretty hard for it. Excited.
Perfect. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public portion of this hearing. Actually, my apologies, we're going to go backwards. Is there anyone in the public who'd like to speak for or against? Seeing none, now we'll close the public portion of the hearing. And I open it up for a board motion or discussion.
I move we approve the application for a fermented malt beverage wine liquor license for Trader Joe's number 308.
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Seeing none, motion passes and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Welcome to Westminster.
Thank you so much.
Mary Joy will be in touch with you.
Yeah. You're just starting your construction, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big handoff from the landlord to us is in the next week or two.
Perfect. Yeah, so we'll just keep in touch. I'll keep in touch with Brian. And
thank you. Yeah, we're at your service and we're both local. So whatever you need.
Perfect.
Don't tell her that. You'll be delivering fresh produce.
Okay.
At this time, we're going to move on to special event permits for the Colorado Agricultural Forum at the Butterfly Pavilion. Do we have an applicant present? Perfect. Mary Jo, if we go ahead and read that into the record.
As you stated, this is a special event permit from the Colorado Agricultural Leadership Program for their legislative reception that will be held on February 19th at the Butterfly Pavilion, 6452 West 104th Avenue from 5 to 9 p.m., the Colorado Agricultural Leadership Program is a qualifying nonprofit organization, and this is their first application for 2025, but they did the same event last year. Copies of the application is attached to your packet, providing information, a service plan, and a map designating the boundaries for the event. Pursuant to state law, the event site has been posted continuously for 10 days preceding this hearing to inform the public of the request to sell malt, venison, and spirituous liquor for on-premise consumption, and of this hearing to opportunity to voice support or opposition to the application. I did not receive any calls or contacts about this. I enter this information for the record.
Perfect. We'll go ahead and accept that into the record. At this time, you can go ahead.
Excuse me. The police department did receive the application for the special event permit for the Colorado Agricultural Leadership Program. The security and service plan that was provided appears to be proper. Local background checks were completed. Nothing was found that would adversely reflect upon the character of the applicant. They indicate the IDs will be checked for those eligible to consume, possess the alcohol. The plan is similar to other plans that have come before the board from other groups in the Butterfly Pavilion. The last year's event didn't have any reported alcohol issues, and so the police department has no reason to deny application.
Thank you. Do we have any questions on the police report? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and accept that in evidence. At this time, if you want to come forward, if you want to raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is true and complete? If you can state your first name, your last name, spell your last name, and address for the record.
Okay. I'm Marcus Catlin. My last name is spelled C-A-T-L-I-N. I'm a fellow with CALP, Colorado Ag Leadership Program, and I live at 60756 Spring Creek Road, Montrose, Colorado.
Perfect. Thank you. If you want to tell us a little bit about why you're here and what you're looking for.
Yeah, I was sent here. By the way, the recreation or your local rec facility is wonderful. There are a lot of people coming in. I was like, man, this doesn't look like a city council hall. So I'm sorry for being late. But I'm just here to represent CALP and to promote the event and to answer any questions that you have and answer them honestly and fully.
Tell us about your event. What is the event? Where is it? What you're hosting? Sure. And, you know, what type of alcohol you're going to be serving. Tell us about your security plan, your game plan.
Okay. So the Colorado Ag Leadership Program has been going to the West End for the Colorado. It used to be called the Governor's Ag Forum. Now it's the Colorado Ag Forum. And so that event is on the 20th of February. The day before, on February 19th, Colorado Ag Leadership Program will have a legislator event, and some of the members of CALP, the alumni, and some of the sponsors and donors will also come to that event. I think we're selling a few tickets. There aren't very many. So we've been in partnership with the Butterfly Pavilion. This will be our second year of using their facility. Last year, I presented in front of this very council, so I think I wore the same outfit, so it finally fits again. a third party will be doing the alcohol, and then security. People have to be checked in, just checking tickets to make sure they are who they say they are. And then that room, they kind of funnel through a little corridor into our event. And then you asked a few more.
What type of alcohol are you going to be serving? Security plan? Sure. I'm just trying to get some details for the board, you know.
Sure.
And guide you in the right direction.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Because it's one of those things where you think you know it, and you get here.
And then you freeze. Oh, it's okay. No. That's why we're here. We're going to help you through it.
I appreciate it.
We won't let you fail.
So we have third party that will also be there. There will be event staff. Most of them will be from the Butterfly Pavilion, and then that have put on some of these events, and there will be caterers there as well. We do have to have security there outside of just the alcohol portion, just because some of the guests will be going through the actual pavilion, which is a pretty restricted area because of the nature of some of those butterflies being rare, and I don't know if there are any endangered. I don't think there are, but some of the rare species that are in there, so that's pretty well regulated. Spirits will be what's served. I'm not a big alcohol drinker, so I don't know all the correct terms, but beer and spirits.
So you'll have beer, you'll have liquor, you're gonna have wine?
I think so, yeah.
Perfect. This time we'll open it up for questions from the board.
Could you tell us what hours you think the event will be taking place?
5 to 9. Yeah.
And about how many people will be attending?
Approximately. Yeah, guests will be about 100. And just to be clear, I'll put it on the record just because it's good to have. We expect that there will be about 15 to 20 legislators that will be there.
How did your event go last year? Did you have any issues, any problems?
The event was great. We didn't have any issues or any problems. It worked really well because guests were walking from the West End over to the Butterfly Pavilion. The Colorado Ag Leadership Program works in partnership with the Fruit and Veggie Growers that has a conference that ends on the 19th. Then the 20th is the Ag Forum, and then that night is the FFA Hall of Fame dinner. So a lot of those people are already there. They attend all three events. So they just walk over after fruit and veggie growers. So there's not much, you know, car usage afterwards. So, but it was very good and no issues.
And you're serving dinner or some type of food, is that correct?
Yeah, hors d'oeuvres, not dinner, at that event.
So in other words, you don't expect a rowdy crowd.
No. Well, I hope not.
He just said there's 20 legislators. Yeah. Right? Legislators, you know, they can get rowdy in session.
They get wild sometimes.
Yeah.
My question is this event age is admission to this event age restricted?
That's a good question. I don't think it is, but we haven't had anybody under 21. So if they have to identify if they're 21 or not when they apply for that, when they get their ticket.
Okay.
So it hasn't been, we haven't had anybody under.
Right. I was just thinking of a legislature brings their 17-year-old son with them just to see what's going on, and then something happens that,
yeah.
I assume the vendor is sort of specifically employed to watch out for that kind of thing.
Yeah, they will be checking IDs.
Yeah, okay.
But that's a good question, because one of our fellows was under 21 when they started. So we had to, when we thought of this plan originally, we kind of figured out how to navigate that, because we didn't want to kick her out of the first event.
Perfect. Any other questions, concerns, comments? Is there anyone in the audience you'd like to speak for or against? You have to ask. Casper might come about.
Yeah.
At this time, we'll close the public portion of this hearing and open up for board discussion and or a motion. Anybody?
Okay, I move that we approve the special event permit for the Colorado Agricultural Forum event at the Butterfly Pavilion on February 19, 2025.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. Good luck and congratulations. You did a good job.
Thanks so much.
Now you can breathe.
You just want me to email it to Amy? It's the permit.
Can we do both?
Yep, I'll send her one tomorrow too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Uh-huh. At this time, we're going to open it up for miscellaneous business and reports. And for the record, Jeff Ryan did show up.
Yep.
You know, so he is in attendance.
Yep.
Take the floor.
Yeah, we definitely have items for the 19th. We have two new applications and another special event permit. Nothing in the hopper for March yet, but definitely we'll have items to hear on the 19th.
Perfect.
And I will start working on training a trading date again. I started and then life got in the way at work. So, but I will get that set up. Hopefully we can get something done. If we do have to have a meeting in March, we'll get it done before then.
Thank you. Perfect. Any other questions?
Chair, I just wanted to let the board know that the underage compliance check letters were mailed out to all the liquor licensees last week. So those, I've already gotten a few calls. So those should be in the mail.
I have not received mine yet.
We will be conducting the underage compliance checks at various times this year.
Can you tell me the start date? No, I'm just kidding.
January 1 of 2025.
Come on.
So are you saying that you're not going to just do one night? You're going to do some shorter ones throughout the time?
We will be doing a few of those this year.
He can't share his plan.
One day he's going to slip up and say it, all right? He hadn't done it yet. But
I know my audience.
What's that?
I know my audience.
Right.
Do you have a lot of trouble at Carrabba's?
No. No.
He's the trouble.
I am the trouble. There's no others.
Yeah.
Very, very rarely do we have issues.
Yeah.
Perfect. This time we'll close the meeting, 6:35. We'll see y'all in a couple weeks. One day he's going to go, oh, March 11th. Oh, shoot.
We hadn't done it this many years, so.